this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore." Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. This country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. Cause it's right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
Well, good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. Says Ranch Wrangler Richard. We are coming to you live. Get the buttons pushed here. Live, well, from the radio ranch. This, it's a beautiful day. November 7th, 2000. I think that's what it is. Let me check my, better double check. Yep, November 7th. How about that? A couple days after the election. That's a good thing. And we think it came out pretty good. Hope so. We'll see. And, well, we'll just have to wait and see. I sure hope it is. I hope that what we've heard, what we've hoped for, is the way it's going to be. So It is 2 Chronicles 7:14. We know that when God's people, those people called by his name, turn from their wicked ways and cry out to him, repent, then he hears and heals and forgives. That's the gospel message, right? The gospel message of forgiveness way back there in the Old Testament. So anyway, well, let's start out with a word of prayer before we get going any further. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord. Undeserving I am, and ill-qualified, unqualified, but Lord, here we are. And so guide and direct my thoughts, my words, Lord, as we talk about current events, happenings that are going on, Lord, and certainly your word, Lord, the faith and the trust and the actions that we are to do. Guide and direct us. We pray for your Holy Spirit. I pray and ask for your Holy Spirit to be here, to come and to guide and direct us, to teach us, to be our helper, to glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, thank you for this election. Father, it seems like maybe there's a bit of common sense that's come back into the land, and so we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, as we have read in the scriptures, that when the kings of old would turn and do what is right in your eyes, that the people would be blessed. And so we pray, Lord, that this new administration that'll take charge the beginning of the calendar year, that, Lord, they would do that very thing, that as they have praised you and called out to you and quoted your name and your scriptures, and, Lord, it seems like they've lived your way in ways that Lord, that will come true, that they will do what is pleasing in your sight, and that it will be a blessing to you and a blessing to your people. Thank you for the remnant, Lord. Strengthen them. Encourage them, Lord, in all that we do, in all that we have before us, and let all that we do again glorify and honor you. Strengthen us. Here we are, Lord. Send us. Use us. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And remnant, fall is in the air. Had a low of about 6 here this morning. Quite frigid this morning, I can tell you that. Pretty heavy frost. And it was cold. I think we're only supposed to be in the teens tomorrow for a low and up in the 40s for a high. So that's certainly some good sweatshirt weather. And some hot coffee, but it's that time of the year, and I might say finally, we've had such a mild fall this year, this 2024, and a little bit of snow, just some flurries, nothing major, but it's rolling in, it's that time, and so praise God, we serve a God that brings these seasons on time, and when they're supposed to be, and it's not just haphazard, and it's good for us to remember that we serve a God that is a God of order and not chaos. We'll ask you a couple prayer requests we had last night. I'll ask you to keep our brother Owen out in western Wyoming and his mom Linda and their family in prayer. The father and husband Lamont passed away this last week, and Christian believers, faithful, active doers is how I would describe this family. Not perfect, but faithers and those that trust in the Lord. And so keep Linda and Owen in your prayers if you would. I'm doing that as well. And, you know, wanted to talk a little bit about faith and trust. And so maybe we'll come back to it. But we can pray believing that God's peace and comfort will be upon them, and that he will strengthen them as he has, me, as he probably has you, as his word says, as he helps us through the fire and through the rivers and through the storms, and we don't falter. Oh, we may fall. We may be weak at times, but we continue on, and we desire to do what is pleasing to him and to pray for others for that strength and comfort to be upon them. So please do that for Linda
in the passing of her husband, and for Owen, the passing of his father. I ask you to do that. And then also our brother Leon there in Missouri is recovering. Had a tumor, had to have that removed, non-cancerous, I do believe, and that's good. And so he's in recovery at home. So I do ask you to keep our brother Leon in your thoughts and in your prayers. And pray for this, for the God of all comfort to comfort him as he, the God of all comfort, has comforted you in the past, or maybe healed you in the past. And we pray in thankfulness, but also in obedience for our brethren. So I do encourage you to do that. Remnant, want to thank you. We do have Volume 11, 2024, in the mail. And so if you'll let us know when that starts rolling in, we'd appreciate it, just so we can kind of keep track and follow up with the post office to let them know when it's getting across the country. And I think Brother Jason got the online version emailed out this morning. And so if you'd like either one of those, if you'd like the print copy, we'd be glad to send it to you if you're not on the Dragon Slayer newsletter mailing list. And many of you have said, hey, don't mail it to me, just email it to me, and I'll take a look at it online. So we got that out this morning. So either way, this one, The Melting Pot Myth, Part 1, and it is just chocked full of politically incorrect, but correct nonetheless, truthful, true history that used to be taught in the schools, but it's not taught anymore. No, it's not politically correct anymore, because the political climate has changed in the land. But it's truth nonetheless. So we hope you enjoy it. And we kind of revamped the order form, mixed it up a little bit, moved some things around on it, added some new things. Hopefully that that'll be a good addition, a good help for you. Talking a little bit about Thanksgiving. Got a few pages in there of reminders of the foundation of this nation and Thanksgiving and the who's and the what and the why and all of that as we have Thanksgiving coming up here at the end of this month of November. So we hope you enjoy this Volume 11. We thank you for your prayers and your support that have allowed us to get Volume 11 out here at the very beginning of the 11th month. And we're sure rejoicing in that and glad to be able to do that and working on Volume 12, I can tell you that. So moving right along there. Well, we've had the election, as I mentioned earlier, and I can't help but think, you know, in talking with people, the day of the election, it just seemed like a calm. It just seemed like a calm. Maybe it was just people were apprehensive or something, but it just seemed like a spirit of calm in the land. Talked with many people the day after, and not a lot of people slept good, it seems like. The people I talked to, that maybe they didn't get enough sleep or they tossed and turned. And I got 5 hours, whether I needed it or not, so I guess I can be in there as well. But, you know, we certainly don't put our faith and hope like we do our Lord and Savior Jesus in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't do that in Trump and in Vice President-elect Vance. But if they do what they've said they'll do, it will certainly be better, I think, for all Americans, at least for those that work for a living, that are seeing gas prices that are double what they were a few years ago and grocery prices up 70%. And so I hope that we see a little bit better economically there. I hope that there's a little more common sense in the, in the sports world, where they have, if they're going to have women compete in sports, we'll have them compete against women and not against transgenders. You know, we've kind of been bringing up to you about this San Jose State having all these this transgender, and so and the different college volleyball teams that are not playing against them, that are backing off, and that's a good thing. I mentioned it again this past Sunday. Not that we're big sports people, not that we really follow women's college volleyball, but it is it is a group of players, coaches, universities around the country that are standing up and they're saying, no, we are not going to allow our college females to play a college-age male in volleyball. And they would rather forfeit their game, take a loss, than do that. And we reported, I brought to you Sunday morning, that San Jose State fired their coach because one of their head associate coach had complained and said, hey, they're cheating. They're not playing fair. They're giving more advantage to this transgender than they are the legitimate female players on the team. And so they silenced her and fired her. Wouldn't even let her come back and get her stuff. Said, oh, well, our lawyer will be in touch with your lawyer. And so it just shows that there's no common sense in this, that it's all feelings. And death and destruction is what it's like what they're seeking. Certainly not helping the other women on the team. Certainly not helping the coach. And so hopefully new election. One thing that I've noticed, I could certainly be wrong, but it seems like that there's times that there is, it's almost like there's a different spirit in the land. And I truly believe that. In reading through the Old Testament, when you would have a godly leader, things changed. When David sinned, I mean, David paid the price, but the people suffered. The people suffered, that's just the way it is. We should pray for godly leaders. I try to do that every day. I try to pray for godly leaders, that the leaders that we have love God with all their heart, mind, and soul, and love their neighbors themselves. I think that's what they should do. And if we have leaders like that, I benefit from that, and you benefit from that. So why not pray for godly leaders? Why not pray? We pray for one another. We pray here for the remnant to be blessed, for the remnant to have plenty. Excuse me. We pray for the remnant to not want, to not be for want, to have enough, to have to thrive, to have plenty. That they would have plenty to even share, to bless others with. And so why wouldn't we pray for our leaders? The word tells us, pray for your leaders, for kings, those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life. And I try to bring it up, once a month or so, because I don't see what little bit I see or hear from other ministries and other, whether it's on the radio or Judeo-Christians in the land, they're not hearing it. So we should be doing that. And so, but you know, now that the election is over, now that, we wrap up this calendar year with just the rest of whatever, and then look forward to the new calendar year, the new administration, some changes taking place, here in the physical. Again, we don't put our reliance on life or salvation on that. But we do, I think it's okay for us to have faith that that it will be better. But, you know, we have to put that faith and that hope in action. It's not a time for us, remnant, to just sit back and say, ha ha, we won. There you go. No, no, we're still neck deep in the battle. And I think that this is going to, I hope anyway, that this will create even more opportunity, remnant, for us to share the true gospel story, for us to be able to point out to people who they are, who the true players in the word is, and who they aren't. You know, the faith is not just the belief only. In James 2, starting in verse 17, talks about faith. James 2, verse 17 says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Verse 18 says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And, you know, that reminds me of there when they the scripture that talks about the Gentiles that don't have the law but are a law unto themselves. See, it's written on their heart because they were part of the dispersion. And I think it's that way here that, you know, they have to go hand in hand. You know, it's like the day coming when the true followers of Christ, of God, will worship in truth and in spirit. It can't be just faith. You can't just believe only. But see, that's the doctrine of Judeo-Christianity out there, is just believe. Do you believe? Verse 19. This is James 2, verse 19. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. The demons believe in God. They know who Jesus Christ is, and they certainly aren't Christian. And so, you know, James 2, 17, 18, and 19, these scriptures alone really are sufficient biblically to prove wrong the belief only, false doctrine of the Judeo-Christianity out there. And you know, that's one of the things we try to do here at Scriptures for America Ministry, is to equip you, to maybe give you some ammunition, maybe to give you a little help or prodding along the way, maybe a little reminder. We've had people, you know, write us and call us and tell us that very thing. Hey, when you know, you've been mentioning this, and I had a friend that needed to hear it. And so, you know, as James 2:19 says, even the demons believe and shudder. And so how much more should we do if we truly believe? Right? You know, there's that contrast that's presented in the word. How much more should we do if we truly believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and the word that's given to us? That word is given to us to read, to study, to lead us in truth and righteousness. Shouldn't we trust and obey? Shouldn't we do what the word says, even if it's, you know, maybe not the standing on the street corner preaching, but the trusting and obeying, the casting all our cares on him? You know, we probably should have gotten more sleep on election night, all of us. And if you got what you normally get, great. But even during that, we should be doing, casting our cares upon him. We're told to delight in him. That's hard to do. You know, it's hard to do when the storms come. I guarantee you, it's kind of hard for our brother Owen to delight in the Lord out there while he's getting ready to go to his dad's funeral, because his dad just passed away unexpectedly. That's a hard time to delight in the Lord. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I've been there. I know that's a hard time. It's all but impossible to delight in the Lord, to rejoice. You know, Pastor wrote a book. I've got it here. It's just a little pamphlet from a scripture he did. Rejoice always. And that's in the scripture. Pastor Peters delivered this January 7, 2001 at the LaPorte Church of Christ. And so if you're not familiar with rejoice always, either the scripture in the Bible, the principle that it teaches, or with pastor's message that he brings, okay, then I encourage you. We'd be glad to send it to you. We might have it for a dollar. We'll send it to you for free if you want it, okay? And so it is good to go back, even if you've read it, if you don't have it, it is good to go back and read it again and be reminded. It is full of scripture, and it's written at a time that our pastor decided to rejoice in the face of devastation, in the face of losing his only begotten son. And so there's some great highlights in it. You know, one of the things, he says, before I tell you what rejoice always means, I need to tell you that what it doesn't mean, what it does not mean. It for certain does not mean that one can never do anything but rejoice. And he goes on and says, the scripture certainly tells us there are times to rejoice and times to weep. And he has Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 4, where it talks about there is an appointed time for everything, a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. And so there are times of weeping and mourning. Romans 12:15, the next scripture he has listed here is, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so, again, a great explanation of the teaching of rejoice always. We may not be clapping and praising all the time, but you know, even in death, as our brother Owen and his mom Linda are experiencing because of the death of their dearly beloved, a death in Christ, we can rejoice in that. That Brother Lamont believed, had faith, and had done what he needed to do, had been obedient to the word. And so, that time, I think, is upon us now. We sure can't sit back on our laurels and say, well, I'm just going to buy some beer, sit on the couch, and we'll just see what happens. No, the time is still right for us to show our character, for us to be able to continue faithing, believing, doing what we should be doing, loving our neighbor, proving that, not gloating, but proving. We if you continue to read James, boy, James is such a, especially James chapter 2, such a great piece to read. James 2, verse 20. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Faith is useless if it doesn't have works. He says, are you willing to recognize that? Verse 21, now here's some proof. Here's some backup. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. You want to have perfect faith? You want your faith to be stronger, to be perfected? What does the Bible say we have to do? We have to have the works that go along with it. As a result of the works, faith was perfected. In verse 23 in the script, see, this is what you'll hear, this next verse. Oh, you'll hear this, but it's taken out of context. It's not taken with the rest of what the explanation is in this verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So I ask you, I don't have a theology degree. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I can read this and see that Abraham believed God. It was reckoned to him as righteousness because he did what God had him to do. He didn't just believe. He didn't just have the faith, but he put that into action. And see, that's such a drastic difference from the Judeo-Christianity that's taught out there. You try to, I've tried to talk to Judeo-Christian friends about this. Oh, brother, yes, we need to have works, but it's not how you're describing it. You see, a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. That is what verse 24 says of James 2, New Testament. Verse 25, and in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. See, Rahab didn't just believe. Well, I talked to the guys and I told them that I wouldn't tell on them, and then she didn't do anything about it. No, she hid them. She snuck them out the other way. She faithed. Or you might say she worked her faith. She did. And remnant, it's time for us to do. It's time for us to do. And not just have faith, not just believe, but to perfect our faith by works. You know, faith is trust and reliance on God's word. I tell you, I sure didn't know how the election was going to turn out. And maybe I didn't have the faith, if that's what it was. You know, Hebrews 11:1 talks about faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And you know, Romans 10:17 tells us how to get faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it tells us what do we do with faith. So we believe the word. Well, we may not have enough faith in man. I didn't have enough faith in the American people that Donald Trump was going to get elected. But let me tell you, I do have faith in the word of God, that peace and comfort will be on those that mourn, on those that seek him. I do have faith in that. I know that his comfort is there. I know that his provision is there because his word says so, and because as Paul wrote, I've learned how to to get by with plenty, and I've learned how to get by with little. And the key is to be content. That really is the key, is to be content and to have the faith and the belief and the understanding after you've gone through it that, you know, the hindsight is 20/20. So when we look back, we can always look back and see, man, that was a tough time, but man, it's over. I'm through the river, or I'm through the fire, or I'm through the storm, whatever it may be. And God got me through it. Oh, it might have been tough. Might have been some of them. My dad used to have a little saying about, called it wolf pudding. said when you didn't have anything else to eat, maybe some Vienna sausages and soda crackers, a little wolf pudding. That'd keep the hunger pains away if that was all you had. And I guess there were times that maybe that was all he had growing up. My dad grew up in a much rougher time in the late 30s and early 40s. A much rougher time than we have it now. And but he could look back and, you know, he had me put on his tombstone, never had a bad day. And he grew up hard, dirt floor poor. He ended up nine-fingered, one-eyed, broke back, worked all his life. But I remember talking to him as he was dying. And he told me, you know, son, I'm not afraid to die. I'm okay with it. And he was. He had repented. He had been baptized. But he did have me put that on his tombstone. Never had a bad day. And I've sure tried to take that to heart because it's truth. It's truth. We go back. We like 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what we do with faith. We walk by it. It is our map. It is our guide. It is what we are to walk by. Not by what we see. Oh, our eyes will deceive us. Our heart will deceive us. But we have to have faith with works. And so, Remnant, now is the time for us to be walking in that faith. And, you know, faith is like the first step for works. First, of course, we believe. Then we read and hear the word. We start to get some understanding. Then we should put that belief into action, trusting that what we read in the word is true. And when we follow the instructions of the word, well, then you might say we're faithing it. We're trusting, right? Trust and obey. You know, a pastor preached on that this many times. I think a 13-part series called Getting Greater Faith. He preached back late 2009, early 2010, Getting Greater Faith, 13-part series. I know I learned quite a bit from it. And we have it available, Getting Greater Faith, a 13-part series. If you would like it, we'd be glad to send it to you. If you want to increase your faith, to learn how. The Word tells us, how do we increase our faith? Well, we do. We have to be out there doing. How do we perfect our faith? Works. By works. By works. Oh, by works according to the Word of God. By believing His Word, reading what we see, and applying it. Right? How about 1 Corinthians 9? A couple verses here. 1 Corinthians 9. How do you perfect your faith? By works. Here's a works. Okay. 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. And so that reference is from Psalms 112, that last one, the scattered abroad, gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. And that seems like to me, that's a desirable thing, right? To be able to give to the poor, to have an abundance for every good deed, always having all sufficiency in everything and having all grace abound to us. Man, that sounds good to me. I like that. I do. You know, that's like, again, when we read Paul's letter to Timothy about praying for for kings and those in authority, so you can lead a quiet and tranquil life. Well, who doesn't want that? Who wants turmoil and trouble and not a quiet and tranquil life? So you put that into work. If you want a quiet and tranquil life, as the word says, we'll pray for all men, kings and those in authority, that they would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As the word says, they are in Timothy. So you can lead a quiet and tranquil life. And then you do it. You pray it. You don't say, well, Lord, I want a quiet and tranquil life first, then I'll pray. See, that's not the way it goes. That's not the instructions. Just like here, let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So, if you want to reap sparingly, well, then you sow sparingly. If you want to reap bountifully, that means a lot, well, then you sow bountifully, a lot. It's just that simple. It is just that simple. Now, that Psalms 112 is where the reference is, okay? It references that as it is written and goes with that. So, how about Psalms 112? Psalms 112, starting in verse 1, says, praise the Lord! How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. The delight of God is the man who obeys God's law. Therefore, the delight of man should be to do the law or the will of God. To me, that's what it says, right? How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Man, I mean, that sounds good to me. That sounds good to me. Verse 2, his descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Verse 3, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Verse 4, light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Now, you know, there's evil in the land today. You might call evil tidings. But if you don't want to fear the evil tidings, verse 1 says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights in his commandments. So see, there again, there's that contrast on what we are to fear. Verse 8, his heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. He has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. Verse 10. Now, this is where it's important. This verse 10, I think, has a greater impact than most of us really see. Verse 10, the wicked will see it and be vexed. The wicked will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Hallelujah. I like that. The wicked will see it and be vexed. I saw just a blurb from CNN had a guest on, I guess, yesterday after the election. And, you know, they were just bemoaning the Democrats losing and all this stuff and whatnot. So they had this conservative guy talking, red tie wearing, if you know what I mean there. And the CNN, there were four CNN people sitting there listening to him. And it looked to me like they were vexed. That's what brought this verse up to mind. It looked to me like they were vexed because he was saying, and he was very calm, speaking very slowly and purposefully, and they didn't say a word. And he said, you know, something to the effect that, hey, the American people have spoken. They've They came out in droves, you know, in more numbers than any of us thought, because they're tired of being lied to. They're tired of being taxed beyond their belief. They're tired of the high food prices, the high gasoline prices. They're tired of this invasion that's going on. They're tired of the lies from the politicians, and they're ready for a change. And those CNN commentators, they were vexed. It was like, I mean, Anderson Cooper was there, old whitey-haired, you know, he didn't have anything to say. And why? Because there was a doing. Because people did what was right, right? And when we do what is right, when we put our faith into action. Verse 10, the wicked see it and are vexed. They gnash their teeth. They melt away. And their desire perishes. Now, do you believe the word? That's what the word says. You look it up. Don't believe me. It is Psalms 112. You read it. You read it. The blessings that come, oh man, descendants are mighty and wealth and riches and all this. And the wicked see it and are vexed. They can't stand it. But it says they perish away. And so, can we believe his word? Can we faith that? Can we follow the instructions it gives? To delight, it says to delight in the word, to delight in the Lord. That's symbolic of being obedient to God's law. That's what that means. To delight in his word means to be obedient, to do what it says, and to rejoice in it. To be happy and thankful that we're able to do it. Psalms 37. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate faith. You know, you have to sow to cultivate. You have to sow and get something going to cultivate, to go in and tend and get that going, right? That's an agricultural term. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 6 says, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light, your judgment as the noonday. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. See, you got to remember, he's not a genie in a lamp. Hey, genie, rub the lamp. Genie, I need this right now. Hey, come here, I need this right now. That ain't the way it goes. No, Psalms 37, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. How many people rest in the Lord? I have great difficulty doing that. I'll confess my sin to you. And we need to make time. You know, if you have to get up earlier in the morning, or stay up later where you can rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. It says, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Verse 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. What are we to do instead of fretting? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And so I do try to do that. I do try to trust in the Lord. I do try to have time to rest in the Lord, to lift my prayers up to him, and then to trust. In the case of our brother Owen, Lord, I lift this family up to you that is in mourning. Lord, I know how painful it is to lose your father. So, Lord, I pray your comfort. I know you brought comfort and peace and strength to me and my family when we've gone through that. And I pray that peace and that strength and that comfort, that drawing together, that growing in grace and knowledge that you present the opportunity for, that I pray for that, and I pray knowing, and I thank you in advance for bringing that on Owen and on his mom, Linda, Lord, in the passing of his father, Lamont. Strengthen them. Encourage them, Lord. Lord, there is hope in you and your word, Lord. Let them remember that. Let them rejoice in that. Lord, let them rejoice that there's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. On Lamont's part, there's no more suffering. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. In looking back, I thank you for the peace and the comfort you have brought to me and my family and to others that you have allowed me to see. And I thank you for bringing that to Owen and his family as well. And I pray this, knowing and believing, thankfully, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We put our faith in the works. If it's might be a work of praying, it might be a work of doing, of delighting, of having an abundance for every good deed and testing God on that. Oh yeah? Let's see how this good deed works out and try it. Well, Remnant, my voice is gone. That's all I got tonight. I'm about out. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your prayers and your support, as I said earlier, and allowing us, helping us to get volume 11 of the newsletter out. We hope and pray and have prayed that it is a blessing to you. Hope you can join us Saturday morning for coffee. We'd love to have a cup of coffee with you. Join us Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast for coffee with the Wranglers right here at scriptures4america.org. And then, of course, hope you can join us Sunday for church as well. God bless. We'll talk to you Saturday morning.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. And our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days, when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country band.